welcome everyone to episode. All right, this is 52.
It is 52.
We have show notes, but
that's I'm sure everybody's like place. Episode 52. Does that mean you guys have been doing this for a year? Like, yeah. Well,
as a matter of fact, a little longer.
A little longer.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have been.
Yeah, we took a few weeks off at some times, and all we also had like our Y2 Court episode, which didn't count towards the total. Some bonus eps, things like that, that kind of offset us a little bit, but.
But this is episode 52 of 90s Court, and I'm Lisa Monahan.
I am Andy Clodfilter.
And if for some reason you are just now getting to the show, welcome. We love you. Welcome to the club. And we are a show that does not talk about court cases from the 90s, because that would be a little too specific. But we instead take two popular things from the 90s, put them up against each other, debate them, and then you, the listener, join on Twitter or Facebook and vote. I'm sorry, my cat did like a weird backflip just now, and I'm trying to ignore that. I'm trying to ignore that.
No, don't. Like, you need to bring that that kind of hot energy into this podcast.
That's true. Right? He's ripping and raring to go for 90s Court. But yeah, we are a comedy podcast, and I hope that you get some laughs out of this, because the rest of the world is insane at the moment.
Can you imagine a podcast? This is the thing, is people have genuinely asked about this or said like, oh, I thought this was like a court thing or something like that.
Like, no, why?
Just, like, can you imagine not only being like, I want to have a podcast about court cases specifically, but I want to have one about only ones from the 90s.
Yeah, you know what we do?
Such
we
a spend, restrictive spend... thing to begin with, and then we'll just restrict it a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? Why not? It's like a corset of podcasts. That's what that would be. Just awful. But Andy, how are you? How was your week?
Friggin' swell. So swell. Like, you know, I was just telling Lisa beforehand, I had a social interaction with other human beings in public for the first time in a very long time, obviously with masks and everything equipped. We got ice cream and sat and talked at a bench outside, and it was lovely. That is my second social interaction in public in 6 months.
Yikes. That's a long time.
A long
time.
But
you're being cautious. You're being careful. I applaud that. Yeah. I applaud that. Yes.
So, and
yes,
it's,
yes.
I mean, I'm also, compared to Lisa, I am much more of an introvert, so like usually, like especially early on, I'm like, I am fine with this, and then eventually I was like, I am not fine with this at
I'm
all.
I'm not feeling so good. Yeah.
So yeah. What about you, Lisa Pantalone?
Man, dude, so much. I got dental work this week. Mm-hmm. We got a new spin bike this week. My breakfast sandwich maker died, but then we revived it, and I almost cried about that. That one was that was like, that's what's going to put me in the grave this week, is the breakfast sandwich maker. Dude, English muffin, ham, or like Canadian bacon, slap some cheese on it, you crack an egg, and it cooks the egg. Oh, it's the best.
Okay, well, that
it's
was
the best.
That was
aggressive.
Felt like,
I'm telling
felt
you,
sexually aggressive.
It's just
so
I'm
early
just telling
on
you, like it's well, I mean, 3 minutes in, and if you don't know what a breakfast sandwich maker is about, you about to find out. But that's what they're just good. Mm-hmm. They're just good. Hamilton Beach, hats off to you. It's a good. My friend, I believe she still listens to the show. She showed it to me not long ago, and I'm just telling you, it's like the dandiest thing.
So dandy. Yeah. So, but no, I'm glad to hear that you've had some riveting events too. It's like, I think it's that like every, like the aggression that everybody has right now is just like, there is nothing to talk about in your own personal life. And so all you can talk about is freaking politics and shit, because it's like, it's the only stimulation that exists right now. Fortunately, NFL is back for people like me, but there's only so much you can talk about, and not everybody watches it. So you're kind of like, I can talk to a few people about it, but then others I can't. Some people are casual watchers. Some people are intense watchers like me. So, you know, you have to kind of parse out who you can talk to about it. But,
yeah.
So.
True.
So, hey, I did want to give a few shout outs, as always, to our glorious Patreon members and bailiffs. Bailiff Tim, who is most excellent. Thank you so much for being a Patreon. Bailiff Nate, you're a rock star. I always love your questions when you hop in my text and say, and it's clear that you're listening to the episode as you ask the very specific question about a very specific moment. And it always amazes me when I remember the exact moment you're talking about. So
yes,
Bailiff Preston, one of the OGs, thanks for sticking with us this long. I appreciate that you have not given up on us. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Preston.
And Bailiff Michael, like I said, always love your input on Facebook in particular. Always have great comments and questions on there. So again, thank you guys all so much for your support. And we will be having another Patreon exclusive episode very soon. For those of you who are not familiar with this, Patreon is a fun little site where you basically pay a subscription fee monthly. Like we have levels of $1, $5, $15, and $25. Most of our people are at the $5 level, which gives you free bonus episodes. We have one who's Judge Varian, who is at the $15 level, and those who listened to last week's episode, he got to choose the entire court case and everything to design that, as well as all the bonus content as well. So anyways, thank you guys so much for your support, and anyone who wants to hop in there and support, even a dollar, would be awesome. It's always just feels good to know that people value your content that you're providing. So.
True. And I also want to give an informal shout out to our friend. I know you know her as well, my friend Alyssa, because she always listens. She always listens to the show, and she always like messages me with like a little like matter of fact thing. Like she called me out on the Quidditch that I was saying for the Harry Potter, like in relation to the Thigh Master. And I forgot what it was technically called, but she was like, actually, it's this. And she was like, it was just so cute to hear you struggle. But I also love that she always tells me, because like she will be working on a home remodel project and then simultaneously binging our show. And I'm just like, so we are helping her get her house in order one episode at a time. And so thank you, Alyssa, for listening.
And real quick, sorry, I know we're doing a lot of shout outs here before we start the actual app, but after you mentioned last week when you, like, I was mentioning another person's podcast and you said, you mean Alyssa's podcast? And I was like, what? Uh-huh. So I looked it up and found what you were talking about. And it turns out it's right up my alley, which
completely
is
completely up your alley. Yeah.
Which is The Next Session.
Thank you.
It is a D&D and tabletop RPG podcast for game masters and things like that. And you can get a lot out of it as a player as well. It's just kind of how to make a good game and how to and it's a very fun thing too. They're very funny and very good, and it's very well edited and put together. I have listened to all their episodes, and I'm very anxious to hear the next one. So again, that's The Next Session, and that's available anywhere you podcast as well. So.
For sure. Well, so we don't just give out shout outs all over the show. We also talk about things from the 90s.
Okay? This isn't it.
This is not just us talking about other people, although that would not be the worst episode. But let's get started and start talking 90s, okay? I have actually wanted to cover my thing for a very long time. But as I've mentioned, I've been listening to With My Next Pick a lot lately. And this past week, they did a One Hit Wonders show, which was like 1 bajillion% up my alley. Okay. I loved that episode.
I was so, like I said, I love that episode, but I was, you know, the song that I was upset about. But anyways.
Do I?
Yeah. I said, I'm like, why didn't you guys have this one? Which was
Zoot Suit Riot. Oh,
by
right.
The you Cherry, which I like. I said is mainly just because I will use any excuse to bring up the fact that the Cherry Pop and Daddies is the most insane band name ever.
Did you know that when I was in high school marching band, we did Zoot Suit Riot by Cherry Pop and Daddies, and they would always do. But they would always cover it like. We would be performing it, and they'd be like, and now, of course, Corsicana High School Marching Band with Zoot Suit Riot by Cherry. I was like, stop talking. Stop it. I'm 16. Stop
just
saying these
Zoot
words.
Zoot Suit Riot's like, fine. Continue.
That's fine. You can just cool it there. So, okay, I wanted to talk about this, and tonight I tonight, this is afternoon for us. This afternoon, I submit for the approval of the Midnight Society, one of the most intense one-hit
wonders.
Gotta
throw the creamer on the fire.
That's true. It's true. I want it. The song is called... So gross.
I wish I was on video right now. You can see the insane floppy arm dance that I'm doing right now in my chair.
You're doing a floppy arm dance.
Yeah.
Get that
woo,
beat.
Woo, 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 woo,
we could
woo.
Probably stop playing the song to help everyone else out. That is the song Blue by a band called Eiffel 65. And it was released in 1998 and then 1999 in the US. And they're apparently an Italian group.
Interesting.
Which is funny because Eiffel 65, Italian group. Okay, but hear me out. There is a story here. Hear me out. I've got a good story here. Okay. Okay. This was basically their only song that got huge, especially in the US, but boy, did it get pretty massive. I think it hit number 6 on the US Billboard 100, which is pretty big for a Euro band. Like, huge, right? I watched this 25-minute video on Vice last night about this because I was like, I'm very curious about this. Vice actually has very good, like, deep dive videos into songs that were like Shaggy or Eiffel 65. Like, how did the song come to be, right? So I watched this, and it was really interesting because they weren't huge in the U.S. I won't spend too much time on it, but like, okay, the members of Eiffel 65 included Jeffrey J., Maurizio Lobina, and Gabri Ponte. I believe Gabri Ponte is now a DJ still, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. But they all met at the spot called Bliss Corporation and ended up crossing paths because you could hear what other people were working on in the studio. So like, it wasn't super well soundproofed. So you could hear, which doesn't make sense for a recording studio per se, but like, Jeffrey was like, hey, I could hear you guys doing the like the piano hook. And he was like, hey, I made 3 different versions of lyrics. Maybe you guys would like it. I've got like a normal one, a good one, and then like a crazy one. They're like, oh, for sure.
I have
like
a bad crazy one.
I have a bad one. And they were like, we'll take the bad one, please.
Yes, please.
Order one bad one, please. Okay. So also real quick, this is what I wanted to talk about. Eiffel 65 got their name like this. A computer randomly chose the word Eiffel from a group of words that the band had selected. Okay. And the number 65 was accidentally added to it. The producer had written a phone number on a piece of paper and 2 digits of it ended up on the table copy. Okay. So the graphic artist who got it assumed it had been added afterwards. So he just fused it to the band name. LOL.
I mean, honestly, I'll say is Eiffel would be a really weird name. I mean, not that Eiffel 65 isn't weird, but it's like, it just flows a little bit better with the 65, I think. But maybe that's just because I'm familiar with it.
Exactly. But if it was just Eiffel, it'd be like, oh, Eiffel 65, like, I don't know. I can't think of another band that fast for some reason.
Like
my brain totally seized.
Schmeifel.
So
am I right?
They got, yeah, they got together. They made Blue and they were like, this shit is so good. I cannot really wait to like take it out there. And they took it to a club and they played it and the dance floor cleared. Like,
wow.
People just was like, wow, this is shit. And they were like, you're right. This was bad. We're just going to put that in our pocket. We're going to put it behind us and we're going to move on and move away from Blue. And like, no one, there was like, this sucks. I get it. This sucks really bad. But like the following year on April 1st, 1999, I think it was 99, it got picked up. And it was like play, like one radio station was like, I think it was in Italy, call. And he was like, guys, like this song is really good. We're playing it. And like, people are going crazy. And like, it just snowballed like crazy. Like I think they said they went from doing like just recording a little bit here and there to like maybe within the same week being on tour.
Wow.
Like it just shot out of the gates like that. So fucking insane. But okay, people went ape shit for it. And like I also wanted to mention, so like the gross, let's see if I can play it real quick, the gross like auto-tuning. It's you can hear the like warbling.
Right, but
I
it
guess.
Felt like in that song, like the auto-tune was almost intentional because like especially like I guess it's when I think of this song, I think of the music video, and so like I
yes,
think
and
of
we will talk about the
yeah,
video.
I think of Aliens, yeah. And so I'm like, oh, that man checks out. They're supposed to be like yeah. So anyways, but
that makes sense. So the warbling is intentional. And it was because they had heard, I think it was the previous year, Cher's Believe had come out, which had like the heavy auto tuning, like, do you,
yes.
You know, and that was great. I'm so on key, so good. And they were like, we want to do that. We don't really know how to, but we're going to do it. And so they did like a vocoder or something, and it's not great, but that's what we hear. They're like, we botched it, but like we did something. So the video, you remember the video. Because it's the worst video of all time.
Oh,
it's
contraire.
Like, what do you think is the worst video?
Oh, I'm not saying there's a worse one. I just think this video's a banger.
Oh, you think it's okay? Okay. Well, I'll. Fatboy Slim's Praise You is pretty bad, but also pretty good. We're gonna have to cover that. I want to cover that at some point. Anyway, the video is that they're performing, and then out of the blue, like the lead singer makes a little jump, and then he gets abducted by aliens midair, and then they like take him, and then the other band members are also like, "Wow, we should get on a spaceship and get our guy back." And so they're like fighting, and they begin like chasing the aliens to their island. Or excuse me, I keep saying island. It is planet. I'm having trouble with places
words.
Proper with words. Not so good. Me not speak so good. And they get him back. But, like, the aliens look like the most ignorant, awful CG pieces of shit you've ever seen. They're awful. And, like, even for 99, like, it was pretty bad. It was not so great. Remember, like 5 years prior to that, we'd gotten Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but it wasn't. They're not. This is a music video. They have such a tiny budget for these things. And like most people just kind of throw together whatever. But this was like, it was a story. It was actually coherent. And it had to do with the song, like eventually. Like, so it was like, it was, I thought it was at least enjoyable for me as a, you know, as a 14 or 15 year old or whatever. Like, I enjoyed it despite the fact that, like, you know, ironically, almost because of the fact that it was so wacky and weird.
Yeah, if you say so. I couldn't. Like, even the band, like, rewatching the video on the Vice documentary, were like, this is pretty bad. I was like, you're right.
It was bad, but house with the blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him.
And himself.
Himself and everybody around, because he ain't got nobody to listen.
There you go. I was going to say, I could read the lyrics, but Andy just knocked it. And if I recall, he was like, it wasn't even a commentary about like his emotions. It was just the word blue. Like, if I recall correctly from the video lesson, I was like,
they did seem to just be straight up blue. Like, there wasn't anything like depressive about them. They were just blue beings.
Yeah, they were just blue beings. But that, my friend, is Eiffel 65's blue. 99. What a fucking year.
Blue.
Ay, 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 ay.
I think my favorite thing about like the 98, 99, even like 2000 period of time is that so much effort was made to make things look futuristic.
Yes. And
it's so bad. Like, that's what I love is they suddenly were like, we need to make this look like it's the future. And I'm like, you are trying so hard and it is so depressing how bad of a job you're doing.
You're doing the best that you can, but you're still falling extremely short.
You're still failing utterly. Well, thank you. That was a good, because that was a song I knew at some point had to get brought up.
Yep.
For sure.
There it is.
So I have something for you that's a little bit less musical.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe
too less musical.
Maybe not even enough musical.
Oh, goodness.
So, like, for people who owned computers, which, let's face it, in the, you know, mid to late 90s, you own computers. A lot of people, sometimes when they were using computers, were like, this is my first computer. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so dumb. I hate how dumb I am at this computer. And so in 1985, initially, Microsoft brought about a character named, I believe, Microsoft Bob, who was kind of this class, this thing that would have, you know, some different cartoon characters and things like that. And it would kind of explain, like, here's this portion of your computer that can do this. Here's this. So it was kind of like almost an instruction manual type of thing. Like, here's all the different things your computer could do. And they had a bunch of different cartoon characters in it, like cartoon dogs and things like that. So that came out in 95, and they were like, wow, people seem to really like this. And so they then decided, like, for Windows 97, like, we need to go next level.
There was a Windows 97?
Yeah. So from Windows 97 and on, they brought an infamous cartoon character into the scene who goes by the name of Clip-It, or for those of you who are not beholden to literal names, Clippy.
His name was Clip-It? It wasn't Clippy?
His actual name was Clip-It, but yeah, that's everybody bullshit. Calls him Clippy. I have no idea why his name is.
This is the Mandela effect. This is it. This is the Mandela. We just found it. We just did
it. Hi, I'm Clippy. But yeah, like, seriously, like, everybody. So Microsoft said, let me read through some of the different notes I have. So let's see. So basically, the office assistant, or Clip-It, is one of many of a discontinued intelligent user interface for the Microsoft Office that assisted users by way of interactive animated character, which interfaced with the Office help content, was featured in Windows 97 and discontinued finally in Office 2007. So it had a good run of existence there.
Yes.
So the default assistant in the English Windows version was named Clip-It, or Clippy, after a paperclip. Which is, for those of you who have not seen this, I don't know where you live, but it is a it is a sentient paperclip with eyes, and it, like, you know, can make mouths with its paperclip, or, like, use its outside paperclip to, like, point at things. And then it'll have these little pop-up bubbles that'll be like, it looks like you're writing a letter. Would you like help? And it'll just, like, it won't say anything. It'll just have this thing that pops up. But this has been one of the most mocked and, like, re-mentioned thing, because it's one of those things that's so relatable, because everybody saw this and everybody hated it.
We did kind of hate it, didn't we?
It was
even
just,
though he tried to help, we never like help. We want to stay floundering. Yeah.
So Clip-It was the default and by far the most notable assistant, partly because in many cases the setup CD was required to install the other assistants. So, like, you couldn't even get other ones unless you actually use the installation CD, which also led it to be simply called the Microsoft Paperclip. So this is a great information. According to Alan Cooper, the father of Visual Basic, the concept of Clip-It was based on a tragic misunderstanding, his exact words, of research conducted at Stanford University.
He was born of a tragic misunderstanding.
Clip-It was, yes.
Yikes.
Showing that the same part of the brain in use while using a mouse or keyboard was also responsible for emotional reactions while interacting with other human beings, and thus is the reason people yell at their computer monitors. So they thought, like, let's get a sentient being on your freaking computer, because you'll be like, yes, I love this human interaction I'm getting on my computer. Microsoft concluded that if humans reacted to computers the same way they react to other humans, it would be beneficial to include a human-like face in the software. As people already related to computers directly as they do with humans.
Yeah.
The added human-like face emerged as an annoying interloper distracting the user from the primary conversation. So, like, you're trying to write a letter and stuff like that, and it's just always, like, I would always hide that thing. I'm like, go away. Like, it's just go away.
Immediately, yeah.
But it's one of those things where I'm sure for, like grandma or something like that at the time, like, it was great.
Oh, Clippy, you're my hero.
Yeah, thank you. I really did have a lot of problems, and I'm so glad you're here to help. But then it just keeps coming. Like, or if you, like, have no problem, you're like, I've owned a computer before, bro. I know how to type a Word document. Like, get off my nuts. So, let's see.
Clippy.
So, yeah. So, it'll say things like, it looks like you're writing a letter. Would you like help?
The resume helper.
Yeah, and I always
was pretty helpful with resumes.
Yeah, I will say I love, like, different memes of him now that'll have it be like, it looks like you're searching for, like, it'll like sex toys. It'll always be like something like horrifically graphic that he'll be like, it looks like you're
right.
Seeking world domination. Like, would you like help with that?
You're right, Clippy. I am. Please help me help myself.
Yes, please. Thank you so much. So apart from Clip-It, other office assistants also available were the Dot, a shape-shifting smiley-faced red ball, Hoverbot, a robot.
What?
The Genius, a caricature of Albert Einstein.
Okay. What? Okay, I'm looking at this.
The Office logo.
These were other helpers?
Yeah, like
were...
if you installed the CD, you could just get these as all optional ones instead of Clip-It. The Office logo, which is a jigsaw puzzle, Mother Nature, a globe, Scribble, an origami-esque cat, Power Pup, a superhero dog, and Will, a caricature of William Shakespeare.
Of course.
Smithsonian Magazine called Clip-It one of the worst software design blunders in the annals of computing.
What? Wow. Really? But that's severe?
Yeah.
I mean,
they did not care for it. Like I said, it's one of those things that's funny to make fun of, but, like, the way they refer to it, I'm like, I mean, it was annoying, but, like, I just got over it because I could close it, but, like, I'm sure it probably a lot of people got really upset, like, were so annoyed that they were actually, like, upset about it.
Yeah. Bob looks fun. Bob looks like a knowledgeable guy. I would trust Bob. I don't trust Bob, like, while I'm on incognito, but I trust Bob other times.
Yeah. So, anyways, I just wanted to bring this up because, like, it's one of those things that, like, I was looking for weirdest, like, 90s stuff and find, like, because I have to search for different things. I mentioned this before, but I saw Clippy and I was like, holy shit, Clippy.
Clippy.
Like, I forgot. I didn't know you came around in the 90s, so I was super excited to get Clippy in the show.
I'm just disappointed. I didn't immediately remember Windows 97, and there it is. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was from 95 to 98.
That's because, like, you just, all you cared about was you had your, which is weird because, yeah, like 98's the one you think of. So I don't know why, like, they're just like, we need to get this in here. And apparently immediately they were like, we need another one.
We need, 97
is falling
Scribble's
short.
Fault.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, gosh.
That's Unreal. The thing about my boy Clippy.
Clip it. Clip it. Oh. Oh, that's a would you consider that a teaser for the court case?
That's a big time teaser. Speaking of court cases, we're going to take a quick break so that way we can get back to you afterwards with our polls from last week as well as the glorious court case.
Let's do it. All right. See you guys after the break.
Bye. Welcome back to 90s Court, where we talk about stuff from the 90s.
That's Thank it. You for clarifying that. Yeah, I'm really no glad that you did that for our listeners.
It's like, wait, just any stuff?
Just any old thing.
Just any old thing. So,
just do it.
Hey, gang. We just want to get right into this as far as the polls from last week. So, as you know, we had a couple former comic books turned movies. Casper versus Richie Rich. Both beloved, but apparently, as far as the movies go, one far more beloved.
Wow, I didn't expect these results. And yeah. This isn't being facetious, and this isn't lying.
No, like, no,
I'm
and that's the great
results, and I'm like, I thought Richie held on better.
Because now the polls on Facebook, it's like, it'll just show the vote number, and I have to do the math myself, and then I see the number, and I'm like, ouch, so bad. Oof.
I have two math, and this math is mean.
This is mean math. So, so needless to say, Casper took this one in a runaway. As Casper won on Facebook, 78% to 22%. Brutal. Twitter, not much kinder. Casper, 74.1% to 25.9%. And I will say, despite the fact that those are both easily rounded up, I elected not to.
Cannot, will not.
Like, literally, not, just 74% to 26? Nay. I want you to know that Casper was not quite that good.
That's not so great. Did I put this one up on a poll on Instagram?
I don't know.
I don't remember if I did. It's been a long-ass week. Ask what
it's always like
watching.
You ask the thing, and then it's like against your story, so nobody ever knows what the result was. So
I'll have to. I can, but I have to go back and, like, dig for it. I don't think I did this week.
I didn't see it, at least.
Oh, well. My bad. Sorry.
That's all right.
Been a long week.
Anyways, Lisa, I've been really looking for some new hot games
Garbage
to play.
Games.
I mean, I got some extra time on my hands. You know, it's a Sunday, watching football. Is there anything you can think of that I could, like, wait a second. Oh, yeah, I do have a couple fun games. Clack, 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 clack.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the sound of games being picked up. Anyways, needless to say, I just play something on my desk.
You just placed something on your
desk. Yeah, I just placed the toys on my desk. Wow, one of them's really way too big to be up here, and the other one's an appropriate size. So one of them, I'm going to have a rough time playing sitting in a chair. So we decided this week, it's been a while since we've done toys. Honestly, a lot of the times it's hard to pair things, you know? But this one has been on our list since day one, and it is so, like, it is the... It has the same word in both of the toys. Like, how could you not do it? So, needless to say, we are presenting you with Bop It! Exclamation point versus Skip It! With a dash in the middle.
Yes. Skip dash it.
Yeah, I did love just the minor differences in how they made the names listed out. So, so needless to say, since Lisa went first with the things, I am going to be taking you into the world of Bop It! Versus Skip It! And I will be taking... Bop it.
Do it.
Spin
Bop it.
It. Twist it. So let's, first off, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Bop It or maybe don't know what the deal is, why that's so cool, let me
How did
play
you make it this far if you don't know what Bop It is?
Yeah, well.
Like in our show, like even listening to a show.
You're like, I love this show. I love the nostalgia. What the fuck is a Bop It?
Yeah.
So let me just play you guys a quick little sampler.
Sure, it looks easy,
but it's not.
Well, it's getting faster.
If you can't keep up, you lose.
You blow it, my
Bop
turn.
It. Once you get your hands on Bop It, you're not gonna want to stop it. Fast talking electronic Bop It. Batteries not included.
The battery's not included is pretty brutal. I don't know why they would do that. Like, but I still,
why not?
Batteries not included is such a dumb, like, I'm sorry, that is just a side note, but like, I just nowadays, like, if something doesn't come with batteries, I am just like, what is wrong with you? Why are you not giving me batteries? It costs you nothing, and it improves enjoyment of the product so much more.
100% more. Otherwise, it's just a big plastic baton that with like weird ends that you can slap people with.
Yeah, and that's, and I guarantee you, Bob, you have to unscrew it. Like, you have to get a screwdriver and everything like that. But anyways, I digress. So in 1996, the instructions to a handheld voice game called Bop It were copyrighted. Gameplay is predicated upon a player's efforts to match the commands issued by the Bop It in a timely manner by performing the task that is commanded. So obviously Bop mm-hmm. It, you hit this button that says Bop It on it. There's pull it, and you pull this little drawstring, like not a drawstring, but like a little thing that pulls out. And then the other one is twist it, and then you twist this little thing. Obviously, in future games, there would be far more abilities of the device. But the basic idea was they kind of sped up as time went on, and you had to keep trying to match it. And so there were competitive versions of the games as well. But it's very similar to like a Simon type game.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So it's not exactly the same thing, because I think Simon is like they tell you a bunch of stuff and then you do it afterwards, like in trying to remember what it said. This one's more like in the moment and more time sensitive than a Simon would be. So it was created by Dan Klitzner and licensed by Hasbro. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about this, because I love this history.
Buckle in, children.
So Dan K, I'm just going to call him Dan K because I can't keep saying his name, was good at designing toilet bowl cleaner bottles, but he wanted more. imagine having to make that statement like in this, you're like, I mean, I've really just cornered the toilet bowl cleaning market, but like, I feel like there's more to life than this.
Dan at his 20-year high school reunion, Dan, how's it going in the toilet bowl?
I mean, I'm still crushing it, but
cleaning bucket maker.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. I feel like I could do more.
I could do almost anything and feel better about my life.
Yes.
So it was the early 1990s, and Dan was a designer of a consumer products. Those cleaners, remember those cleaners? You see those cleaners with ergonomic necks that lean into the corners of the porcelain? That's him.
Oh, yeah, lean into that doo-doo bowl.
So, like, the ones that, like, kind of curve and go up to fit the curvature of a toilet, that was
him. God bless you, Dan.
It's these small inventions that you don't really think of, that you take for granted, that are just huge and used in everything.
What is it as a what was it, home engineer? What did you call it earlier? What did we?
Oh, domestic engineer.
Domestic engineer. That's my new fancy way of calling a homemaker. As a domestic engineer, I applaud your design there, Dan.
You've
helped
me so much. So it may have made bathroom cleaning duties easier, but it wasn't creatively satisfying. I mean, also you're like, I did it and that's it. Like, there's nothing else to add to this. It's just done. So, I mean, it's also like, I literally have nothing to do except collect royalties on this. So, what Dan really wanted to do was get into the toy business. And before long, he got his wish. He birthed one of the most, so eventually he made the Bop It, but not yet. So after getting out of the bowl cleaner business, who graduated from the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, California, went to work for Discovery Toys. Designing preschool playthings. One day in 1993, he was sitting in his personal studio when he started thinking about ways he could make kids move away from their stationary positions on the couch, and thought it would be interesting to have a remote control that controlled the child. Which, again, the verbiage on this is very disturbing.
A remote control to control the child. Yeah. Why, sir, that kind of talk will get you arrested in 49 states.
And the upsetting thing is that this exact same verbiage is used multiple times. So I'm going to try and
I wish he would stop.
To switch channels. So basically, there was this fancy, like, it's basically the Bop It, but it was used for changing channels and things like that on the television. So to switch channels, a person would have to smash the hammer-shaped remote. If they wanted to adjust the volume, they would need to twist the knob, etc. He called this the remote out of controls.
Oh, okay.
And developed a prototype featuring a twist, pull, and bop action. He showed it to toy companies, but everybody was like, this is fucking bullshit. He even added an LCD screen to the hammer, but didn't quite work either.
An LCD screen?
I know, in 1993 or whatever. That's crazy. So finally, like, he was clearly like, okay, nobody wants this and it sucks. So he's like, what if I just basically the entire idea of it being connected to the TV, just fuck that. Instead, just no. Rather, the kid using the toy to control something, the toy would manipulate the player, barking commands to twist it, pull it, or bop it. Which, again, the manipulate term is, like, real rough thinking about children.
Yeah, touch it.
Touch it.
Shake it.
Oh, no.
Stop it.
Stop it. which is where Dan came. I've said the word Dan so many times instead of his last name. Dan
That's
came
fine.
Up.
That's fine. We're on first name basis with
the
old
name,
Dan. Yeah.
And which is often styled as an exclamation point. So, bop it, exclamation point. So, he designed a prototype crafted out of foam and shaped it like a baton, used it, his own voice for the command. So, his,
okay.
At least originally, I'm not sure if he continued that, but his own voice was used for it. So, if a player failed to complete a task in the proper sequence, the familiar don't refrain from Homer Simpson was heard. He knew he'd never be able to use that on the final product, of course. That
oh,
was just his prototype.
Okay. I do not remember that on version 1.0 that was released.
So Bop It was inspired, again, partly by Simon. More importantly, Bop It was not only fun to play with, and it was fun to watch others attempt to play. When players stumbled, a voice heckled them. Fail-tastic, my man.
You're never going to get married.
Oh my god. I wish you could record your own like hecklings and stuff like that. Just like
you were adopted.
Don't love you. So this time toy companies were receptive. Dan agreed to license it to Hasbro, which was released in 1996 to strong sales. The company warned that they have a shelf life and the Bop It would not be long for this world. Maybe 3 years at tops. But Bop It divide convention by having stronger sales in the second year than the first year. 2 years after that, a revised version, the pretzel-shaped Bop It Extreme, saw a 50% increase in units sold, even though it cost $5 more. He didn't just have a successful toy, he had a successful franchise.
Okay.
Now, you're probably wondering, like, franchise, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you about the different versions of motherfucking Bop It.
Oh, here we go.
1996, Bop It. 1998, Bop It Extreme. And I'm not going to give you years for the rest of them because they're freaking wild. Bratz Bop It with a Z.
No.
Bop It Blast.
What is that? Well, but what's that one about?
I'm literally not going to tell you. These are so many names.
Okay.
I cannot
tell
you.
Okay, that's fine. I'll Google as we go.
Bop It Download.
No.
Bop It Bounce. Bop It XT. Bop It Smash. Bop It Tetris. Bop It Beats. Bop It Micro Series. Bop It New Moves, Bop It Maker, along with several re-released versions of older versions.
Okay. Check it out. I'm sorry. First and first mostly. I couldn't catch all the ones that you were saying, but I did get Bop It Smash, and that looks like a shake weight.
Oh, really?
It looks exactly like a shake
Smash
weight.
It.
And someone on eBay is selling the Bop It XT, the Bop It Shake Weight, and the original... Is that... They're selling a whole bunch of them for $50. I think I'm going to get on that shit.
Just have so many goddamn Bop Its.
Why do you have... This is the worst sex toy I've ever seen. Lisa. Like, yeah, it's bad. What? Me?
Yeah,
say something
okay,
about Bop It... What?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, the pull it really... It feels like it's meant
well,
for
but the Bop It XT looks like... This is the Bop It XT.
Okay, let me
just,
look
just
this
the
up
Bop It
real
XT.
Quick,
the Bop It
saying.
XT looks like XT. Like bring a friend. No.
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 Oh, no.
Yeah, Bop It
The curvature
XT.
Of it. Yeah, definitely.
You see what I'm saying? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so graphic, but like
that's
Bop It XT
okay.
is like a... We're just going to
just
a,
yeah,
unpack
bring
that
a
one
friend.
For a while. Yeah.
Try it solo or bring a friend.
What was it? What's that movie? Not American History X. Shit.
I'm sure you'll think of it and we'll all
I
be
will.
Really
I'll
happy.
Think of it. It's Jared Leto with the crazy shit that goes on all the time. Ass to ass. Come on.
Nope, don't know. So I'm going to move
of
on.
Requiem for a Dream.
Okay.
There it is.
Yes.
Took a minute. Yeah.
So the commands. So surprisingly, there were less commands than I expected amongst all of the different ones. So Bop It, of course, hit the button. Twist it. You twist the little knob thing.
Yes.
Pull it. You pull down the little draw thing. Shout it. Which, again, like, is amazing to me. You just yell at the thing.
Just Just like,
Wow, I maxed out the mic there. I was even like trying to muffle my yell there, but it still is too loud.
It's okay.
Flick it.
Oh.
Spin it. And shake it. So that Throw must it. Be the shake. God damn it, Lisa. So shake it is the last one. So anyways, I was, you know, delighted to find out about the bathroom history and stuff like that. And more importantly, its original design of what it was supposed to be used for, which is hysterical. But anyways, I definitely owned a Bop-It at one point. I don't think I used it very much, but I think like some other friends would have like different versions of them and we would try them out and stuff. But
did you have any friends that had the Bop-It XT?
I don't think I did. That was pretty late in the game. I don't think they had that.
The original Bop-It is so... Dude, it's selling on eBay for $150. The original's still in its package. Damn. It's not worth it.
I guess people just really
it.
Want that nostalgia, I guess. I'm pretty sure just Bop-It and Bop-It Extreme were the only ones. They did the ones from the 90s, so...
Oh. Here's a knockoff one. It's called Top-It for $10.
It's like the Aldi's version of... of Bop-It.
Equate brand Bop-It. Yeah.
Mountain Thunder. Anyways, that's Bop-It.
Oh my gosh, Andy, this was so much more than I expected.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Like I said, like it's you dig into something and you're like, I did not expect to learn as much about Bop-It. Like it's one of those things where we suggest court cases sometimes and we're like, this is going to be nothing. Like there's nothing on this, and then you end up just finding these other people that are just obsessed with this shit and they give you so much amazing information. So thank you, people who actually did time researching things so that I could benefit from your hard work.
I wish those people would have been around for my thing, which is Skip It, because I had like I said, like literally maybe 1/5 of the notes that I could find for Skip It that I could find for Eiffel 65. So wow, Andy, thank you. Dan, I can almost guarantee you that Dan has left the children's toy market Dick. And is now a product designer over at adamandeve.com. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
All right. Well, that was a lot. Thank you.
Yes. And the biggest thing of all, don't get him. Count around this ball. So try to beat your very best score. See if you can jump a whole lot more. Skip it.
Come on, everybody. Skip it. That's 27 seconds. Don't sue me. Skip it. Wow. Skip it. Okay. Where are my show notes?
The
skip
song, it. Dude. The song is this, just so freaking iconic.
I was going to say, I mean, I probably won't win because Bop-It was actually pretty red. But you have to give it to the theme song. That's theme song rules. Okay, Skip It is a toy that originally came out in the 80s and was released by Tiger Electronics. And it had its, like, what they call the Skip It Renaissance period in the early 90s. But we'll get into that in a second, okay? I'm just like, I'm pretend fencing. I'm sitting on my bed pretend fencing something. Like, that's the Renaissance period. I don't know history. So the first iteration of the Skip It was actually based on a toy from the 60s and 70s called Lemon Twist.
Which strong branding name.
Great. Yes. Which looks nearly exactly like Skip It, but it was like a black rubber apparatus with a weighted lemon at the end that you swung around your ankle. So it's like one person had the idea and they were like, cool, we're just going to keep doing this. And like that version actually looked okay, but...
But is there a counter on this ball?
There is no counter on that lemon, okay? So I will say that I watched a commercial for Lemon Twist dating into the 70s, and they show the product at the end, and it straight up looks like another odd sex toy. I don't just have like a dungeon of sex toys
is
or anything like that. Like,
I'm sorry you think this is our brains. Our brains are the reason that everything looks like a sex toy, not because they are.
Yeah, well, I don't... Do we even know anyone in their 30s who wouldn't see toys like this and be like, yeah. Like, I'd be hard-pressed to find. Don't listen to this episode, Mom. So, listen.
Working hard or hardly working? Those people at work absolutely would not see a sex toy. But other than that, pretty much
that's a good
else.
Point. The accountants... Actually, I don't know. Accountants could probably get freaky-deaky. But listen, Avi Arad, yes, the same Avi, I hope I'm saying that, the same Avi Arad of Marvel Comics, invented this product alongside Maggie Harvey and Mel Kennedy, okay? Those three people The first iteration of the Skip-It was the plastic toy that we know and love from the 90s, but it was missing one critical component. And what is that, Andy?
A counter on this ball.
That's exactly right. We did not have a counter on the ball. And so
they make such a fine point of that, too. They're like, we need you to know.
Like, it's true because, yeah, like, yes, children, put down your Nintendo Switches and come take a look at this goddamn counter. Look at what we have. No, no, no. Stop playing Smash Brothers on a screen that you can literally take with you anywhere in the world at any given time and play with joy. Come look that this thing counts the rotations around your ankle. Come look at this with your eyes.
Come on, let's do some shitty jumping jacks.
Let's do some shitty jumping jacks. So apparently there was a point where like streamers and stickers also came with a Skip-It, but I only remember the OG version of the Skip-It, which was like bare bones pink weighted plastic ball, and it was just like made of doom. Because you know, like it's a strong sense memory, Andy, trying to get this your stupid fucking foot through that little hole, and then your shoe is on, you're like getting your shoe stuck on the back of the ankle mm-hmm. hoop, and then like you try not to fall down, and then you're clumsily trying to get started at the same time, and it's a whole thing. Like I watched videos of kids from today years old trying to play with the Skip-It from yesteryear, and it was not going so well. Like one chick was like whipping it or like using her hand to whip it. And I was like, sweetie, you're gonna need dental work if you don't stop. Like you're going to hurt yourself, and like your shins are destroyed. Like one kid was doing it, but her foot was small and it just like flew off of her foot. I was like, well, the cameraman's dead. Like,
I mean, Lisa, I need you to know that I had one note that I wrote down because I wanted to make sure and touch on it. And it was absolutely crushes your ankle. And like,
that's absolutely
it. Like nothing absolutely else.
If you miss, like you do actually have to be pretty decently coordinated because one foot, it's like tapping your head and rubbing your tummy at the same time. It's like one foot is like whipping a big weighted ball around. The other one's like, don't hit me. And then you're trying to survive.
It's like jumping from one rooftop to another rooftop. Like, sure, it's not that far apart, but like if you miss, it's going to be real bad.
It's going to be real bad. It's going to hurt so bad. Your shins will be bleeding for days. Okay. So, and like, I do remember how fucking awfully painful it was to smack yourself with it or like hit a toenail or like, cause yes, you would be like stupid enough to do it without socks and shoes. Cause it's the 90s and no one's watching over you. Cause it's the 90s.
Yeah.
And so, hey Kat, don't stand on my laptop, please.
I mean, considering everything else that was going on in the 90s, like this was like people getting their ankles crushed was like the least of our worries.
Of course. Like I didn't get abducted today. I did crush my ankle though.
And so I couldn't escape the abductor.
Yeah, I would say it's very different from the toys that we'd give kids these days because I think the newer versions that I saw had like a padded soft ankle hoop and like
cowards.
Yes, I was gonna say if you're not playing with like the OG one, like our version was like a jagged block of rubble from Chernobyl itself,
oh, for
and
sure.
It had been like painted pink and someone installed
the counter
on it. Yeah,
it was like the graphite. It was like the graphite that exploded out.
Yes, it's like, what was it, the top level of the building was just called, like, Masha. Like, this is from Masha's level. Come on.
Yeah.
And, like, they tied it up to a pre-shredded piece of plastic, and we played with it for hours on end. Because you know, if because you remember, if anything plastic like that touched concrete or anything, it would just start shredding up and, like, get really pokey and stabby. And you're like, my ankle's just, like, slowly being sheared off by this shredded piece of plastic of doom.
It's wild that there's not much to it, and yet it's like still accepted as such a like different technology, like a different thing. Like there's so much like advertised so harshly as literally like it's a fucking ball, like a fucking like cone or a like a cylinder attached to like a plastic rope attached to a ring. And, like, the only thing that makes it even remotely, like, hey, this is a new invention is the fact that there's a counter on it.
That's it.
And it has a catchy jingle. That's it.
It was, like, this is one of those moments where marketing did more than its work here. Like, absolutely. And also,
marketing did a lot of the heavy lifting.
Marketing did a lot of heavy lifting here. Absolutely. This is also not a toy that a child would use these days because moving. Why would you ever get up?
Yeah, like I can just like up? I can like do this on a video game and it's a lot less painful.
Yeah, I can have my Animal Crossing character play Skip-It and that's much more fulfilling than me getting up. And so apparently it was a popular game to be like, hey, our kids are like discovering Happy Meals and they're getting so big and like we need to get them to get up and move, and they're like, I got your back, fam. Here's Skip-It. It's like, well, now she has arthritis in her ankle from having it crushed nonstop from 92 yes. to 94.
So now she can't exercise for the next 10 years.
This is true. So thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot.
Her football career is ruined.
So cool. Yeah, thanks, Tiger Electronics. So it was also apparently featured on a martial arts movie from Hong Kong in 93 where called Butterfly and Sword. One of the characters was like playing with it at some point. That's like literally the only other piece of information about Skip It was that that was that. And I will say it was Andy.
Yes.
Time Magazine made a list of 100 greatest toys of all time. And guess whose toy was on there? It was mine. Guess whose toy was not on there?
Bop It?
Bop It was not on there.
Oh, beans.
They're like, Bop It? Fuck it. Like,
fuck it.
Fucking get it out of here. So,
Bitch it. Throw it away. So here's the wild thing to me, because I saw like the Tiger logo. I just pulled up pictures of Skip It's.
Uh-huh.
I pulled up the Tiger logo and I'm like, do you know of any other things that Tiger Electronics made that were not electronic at all?
No.
Because it's not like an electronic counter. It's just like
it's a
manual
right.
fucking counter. So what is Tiger doing in this? Like get back to making like Aladdin, like little handheld games.
Yes.
I'll say those things were so fucking rad. That's like a complete sidebar, but.
No, they were so rad. And you're right. There's nothing electronic about this ball. It's the worst. So it's just, that's Skip It, buddy. It has a great theme song. It is a very simple, good toy. It was usable in the early 90s. It was like a, like, it was just fun. You wanted to just jump rope. You wanted to be outside. Your parents wanted you to be outside to get away from them. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And then you would just come in with horrific injuries and crying. And then you would just sit down and watch Snick. And life was better.
Snick, my Snick. Dudes. Snick, and by the way, just a quick shout out, Black Case Diaries, which is, again, some of my best friends from podcasting. They're doing the entire month. They're doing Snick series. So like just Snick shows like nonstop for every episode. And just one episode. I know they've already done Clarissa, Kablam. And I think they've got another big one coming up here next week, too. So it's just so fun just having them do that. I'm sure they're saving Are You Afraid of the Dark? Because I think they've already covered Are You Afraid of the Dark in the past, so they're not touching on that. But I'm very excited. So
yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, guys, that's our court case. And want to find us and vote, we are on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court. Just a quick note that Facebook, again, we had a page. Facebook screwed us and like took away all of our polling options. So please find the 90s Court group and join that if you haven't already. That's where all of our content will be posted from here on out. I also run the 90s Court Instagram. It's 90s.court on Instagram. And of course, if you'd like to support the show and become a bailiff for hire, we would love that. Patreon.com/90s Court. And as always, if you are feeling so chipper this week, leave us a nice review or rating on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. We would super love it.
But only if you're feeling chipper. If you're pissed off, we do not want your reviews.
We don't want your energy. We don't want your energy if you're feeling bad. If you're feeling bad, go outside, punch a squirrel. Come back in, leave a 5-star review. Fuck squirrels. Am I right?
Fuck squirrels so much.
Fuck squirrels.
They're just fucking ridiculous. I watch them like every day, and they're doing their best, but like, goddamn, sometimes.
Are they, Andy? Are they? Because so many of them get hit by cars here. I don't think they're doing their best. I think they're doing their worstest.
I mean, it must be rough having like no natural predators.
I guess cars aren't natural predators, but they're not. Like at this we point, don't eat they should them. Have evolved. But they should have evolved by now to be like big guy, not so good.
Yeah.
But
instead, it's like I'm gonna eat this guy's leftover pizza and shit in his garage.
Is that what happens to you personally?
No, but I've seen, I know in the past, like when I was like a college campus, there were these big fat squirrels and they didn't give a shit about people. And they
really
would just eat, like
personal.
Somebody took a picture of like a squirrel in our garage eating a huge piece of leftover pizza.
Of course. Always. God bless you squirrels. Fuck you squirrels.
I'm glad we could ruin you squirrels.
Yes. So we've gone off on the deep end about squirrels. Fuck them. But listen, that was our show. Thank you guys so much. This was episode 52, not like the fake episode 52 that almost got me fired. And that's a Simpsons ref. I hope it. I know you didn't get it because you didn't like The Simpsons somehow.
I didn't dislike The Simpsons. I just didn't watch it that much. Jeepers.
I don't even know what to say.
Anyways, hey, so thank you for joining us for 90 Squirrels. We'll be back next week with another 90 episode
squirrels?
Of 90 Squirrels. Just specifically all squirrels all the time from the 90s.
Yep, all the time. Well, thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week. Have a good one, guys.
Stay rad.
Bye.